Hello there and welcome to Back on the Ball with Dean Edwards and Colin Lee, brought to you courtesy of Greenwood Accountants and Wallen Solicitors. And as you can probably tell, we're outside today and the weather is appalling. We're going to be talking about Wembley in a moment, but in the middle of the snow and the hail and the lightning of the last 24 hours, let's just sidetrack like we normally do. And I've got to ask our aged footballers here, the worst weather conditions you've ever played with. Dino?
We had a trip up to Darlington with Exeter City and it was rock hard. It was a Tuesday evening game, so we got on the coach about 10 o'clock, arrived in Darlington about 5 o'clock, had a little walk round, and the frost was so bad. Whoever called that on in the first place was crazy. Anyway, we got all changed, got onto the pitch and the ref called it off.
Oh.
So we had to travel all the way back to Exeter from Darlington. But the madness of it, it was rearranged for the Tuesday after. And we went up again. Every hour we used to ring up, say, pitch all right? Yeah, no problem. Pitch all right? Yeah, no problem. So we eventually get to Darlington and it's even worse than the week before. So the old pimple soles used to be out then that QPR used to play on, little rubber soles. And all their players come running out onto the pitch with these rubber soles. And we came out in our 6-inch studs and one of the midfielders thought he was being clever and came out in a pair of electric blue trainers. And it was a comedy of errors. They battered us 5-1. David Curry, the centre-forward, got that trick. And it was a miserable week, to be honest with you.
I remember as a pitch announcer at Argyle, I just got to the ground and I said the match is called off just as the coach, and I think it was Leicester, were pulling in. Well, I've never heard language like it. And the other one, 3-0 down against Barnsley, and I did my famous announcement, it is the opinion of the referee, and suddenly about 16,000 fans half cheered because we were 3-0 down. Barnsley wouldn't move, and I tell you what, they sat, there was a sit-in protest in the away end. I said, okay, you want to stay in this rain, you stay there, come on, you must have played in appalling weather.
Yeah, I think the one that comes to mind, Fitz, is we were drawn away to Wigan in the cup. It was absolutely freezing on our way there. It was touch and go on whether the game was going to be called off or not, but actually the referee decided to play the game, and as players you go out onto the pitch prior to the game, decide what boots to wear, and at Wigan the old stand used to shadow one side of the pitch, so one side of the pitch was absolutely frozen in rock hard.
Yeah.
And the other side of the pitch was like Wembley, you know, it was absolutely fine. So we went back in and thought, well, what can we do here? Because you need some sort of stud anyway. Thankfully, the kit man had brought the leather studs with the nails in.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly, he changed everyone's boots. We decided we're going to go with the leathers. At that stage, the linesman, I think it was, that time, used to come in and check your boots. So he came in, checked the boots, and the leather ones were okay at that time. Yes, that's fine. Everyone's fine. Got ready to go out, kicked the tops of the leather studs off so we had nails showing, and went out. No one knew any different. And I think we absolutely romped the game about 5-0. And all we could see is these, like, Wigan players trying to get tight, trying to make runs, slipping over, and we were like, cigars out, you know, thanks very much. And it was the leather studs, so I think that sticks in my mind more than any other game.
When did blades come in? When did studs go out? Does anyone still play with studs? Can you play with studs?
Well, I think they do, yeah, I'm sure they do. I mean, I must admit, when I was coaching, really, the blades came in. It was quite a few years ago now. I think players, I don't know if they wear them now, I really don't know, but I know a lot of the players who tried them didn't actually like them,
no.
You know, and they went back to the stud. I think it's studs, I'm pretty sure it is. I think there were more injuries caused wearing the blades than actually wearing the studs. But I mean, when you look at the surfaces now, I mean, yeah. I think I don't think you change your studs very often, whereas when we played, you know, you were wearing certain length of stud for one pitch, another length of stud for another. I think now the pitches are so good overall throughout every league, really. I think you probably wear the same studs for more or less every game.
The evolvement of the boot, isn't it? I mean, look, remember Frankie Prince, who used to play for Bristol Rovers, used to play in a pair of rugby boots?
Yeah.
with 6-inch studs.
As did Johnny Hoare.
They talk about these coloured boots now and they think they've reinvented the wheel, but I always remember when I was at school, there was a lad in our school and he had a pair of Adidas Penarol. Yeah. Remember the Penarols with the lime green bottoms? You've still got a pair. they were magnificent in the day. But like as they evolved, I think Craig Johnson at Liverpool, he sort of made the Predator, didn't he? When Beckham-esque started doing all his things, it's one of those where it all changed then. But I mean, I remember when I had an academy and I had a young lad come to my academy and he had these boots and he said, I can only wear these for 11 games. I said, why? And he said, well, they just basically disintegrate. I said, well, how much have they cost you? He said, like £110. So I'm like, so they've cost you £11 a game. Basically, but you know, I mean, you must have done it, Cole, when you've gone to kick a ball and kick through somebody's studs and it's nearly broke your foot, innit?
Yeah.
Well, you imagine with them boots on now, I'm surprised they're in a lot more injuries with metatarsals and that.
Game's changed, hasn't it? You know, when you played up front, it was pretty regular that the centre forward went across, and as the fullback's putting up the line, half his foot would be taken off with it. Going back to players who have put their name to boots and created them. You know, the amount of money now that players get for wearing certain boots is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I looked at a piece the other day and Trent Arnold at Liverpool, yeah. I think he gave up his boot contract and went with Adidas because he got 26 million for wearing their boots.
What?
You know, 26 million for wearing a pair of football boots.
Do you remember Alan Inton? A left winger that used to play for Derby County.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the time, Alan Inton bought a pair of red boots out and Alan Ball, I believe, bought a pair of white boots out. But the studs at the front were in a circle.
Yeah.
So if you hit a volley and you span, you went round like a battling top. You'd be spinning forever.
I can remember them. Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so that was hilarious.
All right, well, look, weather is against us today. We're actually sat in a giant football in the garden of the Cot Inn at Dartington. Would have been a lovely day if there was sun, which we had sun about 5 minutes ago, and we had snow last night, and we've now got a gale and hail, and the marquee is coming towards us. So let's hurry up. We were going to talk about Wembley. Again, obviously, Colin, you must have played at Wembley, the old Wembley.
Yeah, I played at Wembley in the full Members' Cup final against Manchester City. When I was at Chelsea, we played Southampton away on the Saturday, and I think we'd won 1-0. I think Curry Dixon scored, but Curry got injured, had a groin injury, and I was on the bench that particular game. So I was then called into the team to play on the Sunday in the full Members' Cup final against Manchester City, and played up front with Dave Speedy. Dave got a hat-trick and I got the other two goals because we won 5-4 in the end. When I look at the Chelsea websites and stuff like that, where obviously there's a lot of following now on social media, that comes up all the time as being one of the favourite games of all time, you know, because we were 5-1 up at one stage. We obviously had tired because of the game before and allowed Manchester City to get back into it. Doug Rugvi was playing left back, and great guy Dougie, but we had to explain to him that you're supposed to put the ball in the opposition's net, but he actually put one in our net, which caused a bit of a riot, but thankfully we got through it and ended up winning 5-4. So it was a fantastic day. I think there were 80,000 people there. I've still got the actual full strip that I wore that day, and the tracksuit top and the medal, obviously, which is a real possession. You know, at my home, I've got it on display. It's
not
fantastic.
Got an eBay yet, Liv.
Not yet. No. I've been offered a lot of money for it. You know, there's obviously, well, there's only what would the substitutes then were, I think maybe one or two. I can't remember.
What year was it? 85.
Something like that, I think.
Yeah, that would have been.
Not very good at years, but let's say there's a maximum of 15.
Yeah.
There's no other. You know, so there's 15 of those strips. There's 15 medals. I have been offered a lot of money, but no, it's staying at home.
Wembley, for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Colin a question there. Did you say Saturday and then they played Sunday as well?
Yes, played on the Saturday at Southampton and we played in the final against Manchester City on the Sunday. Now, it came up on social media the other day. Can you imagine them doing that today?
Not a chance.
No. And we did it, and it's no wonder the score was high, because obviously we got our tails in front, obviously, quite thinking like it's 5-1. And then all of a sudden, you know, all the team, because we didn't have a squad like they had today, and we could rotate players on and off, you know, that didn't happen at that time. So the lads who had played like two games in 2 days, come the 80th minute, were tiring. Sometimes when you're losing, you try to get that extra, you seem to be able to get that extra, you know, nothing to lose, it's a final, let's go for it. Thankfully, we held on 5-4. And picked up the cup. It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
It's a bit like playing a 90-minute extra time game, then, exactly. Wasn't it, if you played on the Saturday?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate. I went to Wembley 3 times. I went with Telford in 83. I'd just been playing out in Finland, and I came back, and I'd only been playing for them for a couple of months. Unfortunately, they got to the final of the FA Trophy against Northwich Victoria. So I went as part of the squad there. I was only a 21-year-old lad then. And it was a great experience, because it was the old Wembley, and I'd only been previously to Wembley the first time in 1978 when Ipswich played Arsenal in the FA Cup when they won 1-0. So that was my first experience of Wembley. I sat on the bench. I was in the squad, but I didn't actually get on the pitch, because obviously in them days there were still 2 subs, and it gave a game to one of the lads who'd been there for years, which was fair enough. I didn't think I'd probably get there again, to be honest, but in 1989... we had an unbelievable run. We beat Brentford, we beat Wolves, we beat Bristol Rovers, Cardiff. So we beat some decent teams, and we ended up going to Wembley and playing Bolton. I scored and we took the lead 1-0. We must have upset them, because they come back and battered us 4-1. It wasn't a 4-1 game, but you know, when you just, they came to 1-1 and we were both going for it, but we just got left at the back exposed. So we ended up playing a 4-1 defeat out, and it was a great experience. But I think the first time you go and play, I don't know how you felt, Cole, but it's more about, I think I got caught up a bit in the atmosphere of that game. I mean, I had a decent a game, and I suppose you did, but I felt more about, you know, when you go out and you kick off and you're looking around and you think, I'm at Wembley here. It was an amazing experience. Yeah. But the second time we went, we played Blackpool in the playoff final. We just about snuck into the playoff places, and Blackpool were top of the league going into the last game of the season, and they lost and we won, so we jumped up a place and they fell 4 places, so they fell out the automatic promotion into the playoff places. So we ended up playing them. They were massive favourites, and they had a lad up front playing called Dave Bamba, who'd scored 36 goals that season. So again, this was a night match. The funny thing was, and I think I told this on a previous podcast, we were going up through Wembley Way and the crowd was massive. And I'm thinking, God, because it was a bank holiday as well, and I'm thinking, I wonder who's here. It's massive. I think we're going to have an 80,000 crowd here. So as we've gone down, I'm sitting, but I then realised that a lot of the crowd was girls. And I'm thinking, there's something not right here. And as we've got close to Wembley Stadium, in the Wembley Arena, the Backstreet Boys were playing. So, you know, there was about 25,000 that day. But there was only 13,000 at the England and Chile game on the Wednesday. But we played again. I was lucky enough to score again on a penalty during normal play. But then I came off with about 10 minutes to go. So I was quite pleased with that, to be fair, because I thought if it goes to penalties, I might have to take another one. Would I have to change sides? Would he save it? You know, and I could have been an hero to zero. So anyway, it went to penalties. It went to 4-4, and Dave Bamba took the last penalty for Blackpool, and he hit the corner flag. It was the worst penalty I've ever seen. And, you know, to think a 36-goal player had done that. Yeah. So our next penalty to go up and get promotion was took by our goalkeeper, 21-year-old Gareth Ells, whose brother David played for Tottenham, and he just smashed it in the bottom corner, and all hell broke loose then.
Yeah. I think penalties, it's never a way to sort a game out. But
the other experience, Fitz, with Wembley was obviously when I was the chief executive of Torquay United. We ended up going to Wembley, in 3 years we ended up going to Wembley twice. So the job of the chief executive is to go and have the meeting at Wembley in the stadium, and to really organise the understandings, if you like, of how many tickets Torquay fans got, how many tickets the Ebbsfleet and Cambridge United getting, And that was a really, really good experience, you know, the way that they actually plan for their games. The difficulties, if you like, coming from Torquay, get into there, and all these sort of things were discussed, and we made it as easy as we could for our supporters. So that was a great experience. We got to the FA Trophy, and unfortunately in 2008 lost to Ebbsfleet in the final, 1-0. And I think that experience helped, because in 2009 we won promotion back to the Football League at Wembley, having qualified for the final through the playoffs, beat Cambridge United 2-0 in the final. We also learnt from the Ebbsfleet that when we reached the final, the players and the staff and everyone, it was like we had to go and get suits and we had to get ties and all this and that done. And it sort of distracted the players and everyone away from, actually, we're going there to try and win a football match. Mm. We learned from that experience, and the following year when we got there, we just treated Wembley as another away game. You know, what you were saying just now, you know, I came off the bench to play in that game, so I was fresh.
Yeah.
And what really motivated me was I was playing against Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't my favourite person anyway. So I had a good game, obviously. And Dave Speedy and myself were best friends, you know, and still are. We understood both our plays, you know. So it wasn't as if Curry was coming out of it. I mean, Curry Dixon, fantastic goal scorer, let's be honest about it. In a funny sort of way, it worked that day. That I was fresh. Dave liked playing up front with me because I used to receive the ball, and Dave used to be able to make the runs off of me. Whereas it was a little bit the opposite with Curry and Dave when they played up front. Yeah. So anyway, as I said earlier, you know, Dave went on and scored a hat trick. I got two. Experience of being a chief executive and representing your football club at Wembley, it's a completely different experience and something I really enjoyed.
Yeah. What about the new one? Ever been there? Ever seen a match there?
Yeah, I have. And just cutting in a bit there, Dave, have you got any sunglasses? Because the sun's come out.
What is wrong with this weather? I tell you. You get frostbite on a Saturday and you're sunburnt by the Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we talk about Wembley because we've just watched four amazing quarterfinals, haven't we? And my team got knocked out Wolves and your team went through. Yeah. But I think back to Wembley in the old days, and you must have seen it, Fitz, when we used to watch the cup finals. It'd be a daily event in the household. You know, you'd get up at 9 o'clock, you'd put the telly on, and they'd be going to the team hotel. Then they'd be playing that It's a Knockout game, and then they'd be talking to the players, and then they'd be talking to the manager. And it was just a brilliant day. And I think my first ever cup final I went to was 1978. And I'd never seen Wolves play in the final at Wembley, old Wembley. In 74, I'd had to have an hernia operation. In 1980, I was playing. So I hadn't seen them play. So I was hoping this year they may have got there. But obviously they didn't. I mean, it was a nightmare of a game. But going back to the old Wembley and the new Wembley, I don't want this to come across wrong, but I look at the players now, and especially the foreign players that have come onto our game, and you think to yourself, do they really understand the pinnacle of playing at Wembley, you know, because every English player, and especially back in our era, Wembley was the pinnacle of your career. It didn't matter who you played against. You could have played against Real Madrid, Barcelona. You could have gone to the Nou Camp, you know, wherever you wanted to go. But playing at Wembley was special. I mean, even Pelé didn't play at Wembley. Maradona made a friendly appearance there. You know, there were some real icons of the game that have never played at the Twin Towers. Yeah. But I think now, anybody can play there. Anybody can play there. And I just think the value of playing there now has deteriorated.
I think it's because, you know, the semi-finals are played there.
Exactly.
You know, whereas it was just the final. And as you said, I can remember as a young lad, sort of so excited that the cup final was being shown. And even the cameras on the bus going to Wembley, yeah. The crowds, you know, it was incredible. And when the game was over, I can remember going up to the local park, meeting some of the young kids up there, taking our jumpers off and making the goals, and then we'd try to copy what had happened that afternoon, you know. So, you know, does that go on now? I don't know, but I doubt it. I doubt it, you know.
2,618 toilets. Right. Anyway, I've fascinated you two there, haven't I? But that's, no, it's the sort of facts I love.
There's still a queue. Yeah, there's still a queue. Yeah, I mean, the facilities have changed so much. I mean, even at Molineux in Wolverhampton, I mean, I used to stand in the North Bank, and there used to be one toilet for probably 10,000 people. And it was just ridiculous. So that's why people's pockets used to be used as a toilet, and it used to go running down the terraces, because people just didn't bother, did they? They were absolutely steaming drunk, and but that was the entertainment in them days.
You pass it on the train. It's got that fantastic arch of metal. That's the closest I've got to it.
Yeah, I mean, the new Wembley, I talked about Torquay United going there twice. That was at the new Wembley, you know, and I mean, it is a lovely stadium, but I can understand where Dean's coming from. You know, it hasn't got that history to it, if you like. You know, it's a little bit like when you used to go to Highbury, the old Arsenal ground, and I was at the first game played at the new stadium, and fantastic stadium, absolutely superb stadium, but something not there.
Soulless.
You know, yeah.
Soulless.
A couple of years back, I went to watch Kevin Keegan and doing a talk, and it was funny. It got when he does his talks, he puts up like a screen, and all on the screen he's got like Asda, Tesco, Lidl, whatever they are. And he said, "I've played there," because like you say, all the grounds have to, everybody has to move on, and you know it's great, but it's sorry as well, because you don't want that to happen. You see the history of all the players. I remember when we went to Wembley, and I've gone into the dressing room. And the lad had told us, who was the Wembley personnel, he said that's the dressing room that England used in 66. And when you're actually sitting on the bench, you're thinking Bobby Moore, Bobby Charlton, you know, Alan Ball, you know, and you think of all these icons that have been in that, and the history and the nostalgia that must have gone on in them dressing rooms. And yeah. I think that's part of, you know, wanting to get there.
Yeah, to be able to play at Wembley, and I've only played there once, I'm so pleased that that happened, because at least you can talk about doing something that you aim for when you set out, if you like. Yeah. I mean, it is, I don't know, but there's not many players that actually have played at Wembley. I mean, that would be an interesting subject to talk about in terms of cup finals, and let's say outstanding players that have not played at Wembley.
Yeah, that's a good trivia question. I didn't know that about Pelé, but yeah, a trivia question. Actually, you've just reminded me, I hosted an auction years and years ago, and one of the items came up, and there was absolutely nobody in the room. It was worse weather than we've had today. Snow cancelled everybody getting there, and the seat from Wembley came up, number 66. Yeah, wow. And I think it went for something like £120. In fact, I even know the man who's got it. And I thought, that is possibly the best piece of memorabilia you could possibly have.
Without a doubt. I mean, I look for things to take, but most of it was nailed down. I got a couple of tickets. Since you're a player, you always look for something around, you know, programme or something that you can take as a bit of memorabilia. I've got some tickets from the tea room in Wembley and things like that. But, you know, I always remember going back as a kid. I don't know if this happened to you, Colin, but or even you, Fitz, but when you were a kid at the school, at our school, we had like a penalty prize. And what it was, you'd go and try and be the best penalty taker at the school. Every Saturday morning, all the kids would go, and everybody would take penalties, and whoever got through would go through then to the area final. Yes, yeah. And then they'd go to the nationwide final. And I got through to the area final. I thought, God, I'd love to get to Wembley to take a penalty, you know, because in them days, you'd go and do things like that before the cup final, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And when I eventually did take a penalty at Wembley and scored, it was just surreal. It was magical, because I'd wanted to do that as a kid, and then doing it as a player and an adult, it was just, like I said, it was brilliant.
Yeah. We all have different dreams. Mine was to eat an entire pack of custard-filled donuts. Mrs. Dawes ran the tuck shop, but she wouldn't let me because, well, I threw up a lot. Anyway, let's get back to football. Do you know, we're almost out of time for this week. What's happening? Actually, I know we've got a Boot Bank football match coming up very, very soon. And I know that a lot of money has been raised. Can you just remind us? Over £700 was raised at a funeral.
Yeah, I had a really good friend of mine who helped me with the Chelsea Foundation set up down in Devon, down in this area. And Steve Burrows, he was like my right-hand man, and anything I asked Steve to do, he would do. You know, he yes, Gaffer, I'll do that. Yes, Gaffer, leave it to me. So he took away all the crappy things, to be quite honest, that I didn't want to do. And between us, it really went well. He was a very good scout as well. Initially, we had him as our scout going out finding the elite young players in this area. That did change as it evolved, because, you know, we wanted to give everyone in this area a fair chance. But sadly, after illness and fighting an illness for in excess of 12 months, I received a phone call, funny enough, when I was away on holiday, to get a message to say that his wife Donna had contacted me. And when I phoned back, to be told that Steve had passed away, having been to the doctors and to the hospital once again, and was told that he had 6 months to live, within 4 days he was gone. Donna wanted to really do something for Steve, and wanted to talk about a charity. He didn't want flowers. I said, well, it just happens that we're going to be doing something for young kids who are, their parents haven't got the finances, if you like, to even buy themselves a pair of football boots. Yep. Down in Plymouth in July, the boot bank. And anyway, that ticked every single box for her and for Steve and the family. And I think the total figure raised to date, I think, is about £720.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, the Burrows family are madly into football anyway, for obvious reasons. It's been part of Steve's life, if you like. In fact, his daughter, Paige, is the physiotherapist at Buckland Athletic and was my physiotherapist at the Chelsea Centre when I ran it. So, yeah, fantastic. I mean, fantastic for the boot bank. But I'm pleased that we did it, because I know that Steve is up there saying, that's exactly what I would have done, Colin. Yeah.
Well, let's dedicate the programme to him, and also a big thank you to Donna. £720. I paid it into the bank. To a blank expression from the woman behind the counter, she said, cash. Yes, yes, well, cash. Do you remember it?
Yes.
Well, I've actually got to buy myself a pair of boots, because I haven't got a pair, and I know I'm playing, but it's going to be a bit excessive to go and pay £100 for a pair of boots and have a 2 minute appearance.
Well,
but I will donate them after I finish with them.
Studs or blades?
Well, I'm probably thinking of
Wellington's
carpet slippers.
One of each. Carpet slippers. Back on the Ball. That is the name of the programme, isn't it? I've totally lost track of this. Back on the Ball, courtesy of Wallen Solicitors and Greenwood Accountants. Thank you so much indeed for joining us today inside a plastic bubble in the middle of Hurricane Herbert.